Just wanted to say before I get into this, it is always a blessing to get the opportunity to give out God's word, even though it can be terrifying, right? And I appreciate everybody that's here. And just, it's interesting how the Lord works, because sometimes you feel like you're going over stuff and you're preaching to the choir. And sometimes things happen and you realize there's a reason for it, right? And after hearing Brandon's Sunday school and hearing Pastor talk, I'm not sure who it is, or whether they be here or online, or maybe it's a message that we need to bring back to somebody else. But salvation is always the key when you're preaching. It should always be involved, but it's just been very heavily pointed out this morning already, and that's going to be a lot of what I go over as well. So I just urge you to keep that in mind. Maybe there's somebody in y'all's lives or watching online that hasn't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's something they need to hear. So if you would, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1:18. So a few weeks ago, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, I did a message on the heart and thought I would be doing another message on a different type of heart. But it led me down this rabbit hole, which is where I am today. So I'm going to open with a similar verse as I did 5 weeks ago. It's going to show some similarities. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want to come before you today and thank you for the day that you've given us thus far. I want to thank you for the word we've heard already. And I want to ask that you be with me as I preach your word and give out your word. And just ask that I give out what you want me to, and also be with anybody bringing forth your word this morning, Lord. Just ask that people here not see this as foolishness. It is the preaching of the cross. And just ask that it be heard, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So 5 weeks ago when I did the message on the heart, I'm going to read that verse as well, if you will. It's Proverbs 15:14. So these two go together, and you'll see why. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So I opened that previous message with, if you're here and you want foolishness, then you're in the wrong place. There's plenty of other churches where foolishness goes on, right? But I paired that this morning with the verse in 1 Corinthians, right? The preaching of the cross is to the unsaved foolishness, but to us it's the power of God, right? And I just wanted to start with that, even though we're going to be looking actually at blindness this morning in your Bible. Make some spiritual applications with some physical blindness, and we're also going to look at spiritual blindness. But I wanted to make it abundantly clear that if you're here this morning, or if you're listening, and you have no intention of being saved, or you're not saved, this will be foolishness. So hopefully your heart is to hear the word of God and to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking at blindness and making some spiritual applications, right? And so right off the bat, without getting into anything, you have obviously physical blindness, but you also have spiritual blindness, right? And walking in spiritual darkness. And we're going to start in kind of an interesting verse to lead that off. It's going to be in Genesis 3. So if you would turn there. Genesis 3, we're going to read verse 1. All the way through verse 7. Should be a pretty familiar passage. So, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. As a side note, that's not exactly what God said, right? Satan is repeating that back, and he's changing the words a little bit, right? And so, be careful of changing your Bible around too much. or at all. So, continuing in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he's casting doubt. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So she saw it was good. She looked at it with her eyes, right? Gets you in trouble. And then verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So this is how sin entered the world, right? So this one act in disobedience of God plunged humanity and the entire world into darkness of sin, right? But interestingly enough, I wanted to really focus on verse 7. And it's the very beginning of verse 7, and it says, and the eyes of them both were opened. Right? So, the world was plunged into spiritual darkness, but their eyes were opened. So the question is, what were they opened to? Right? And that's what I want to look at. Having your eyes opened is not always a good thing. So, if you will, turn to Galatians 5. So I hope you guys are ready. There's going to be a lot of scripture this morning. So Galatians 5, we're just going to read a little bit here, 5:19. So I suggest reading this whole chapter. It's good. I'm just going to focus on the works of the flesh, though. So, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. Of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, that's what their eyes were open to. I don't know about you guys, but has there ever been anything that you've watched, you've read, that you just happened to see, right? Even if you weren't intentionally doing anything, right? Because crazy commercials come on or whatever it may be, right? And you see something and you wish you'd never seen it. I'm pretty sure it's happened to everybody, right? That's what this was. Their eyes were opened, but to darkness. Adam and Eve didn't have to deal with any of that. And now they did. So, if you would, go to Romans 6. So, Romans 6:23 should also be a familiar verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, right here you have, now that their eyes were opened to sin, right, and now everyone sins. You're born into it, unfortunately. That's something we have to deal with. That's why we need Jesus Christ, right? But without that, all you get is the very beginning of verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. We heard a lot about death and hell this morning in Sunday school, so if you weren't here for that, I would suggest going back and listening to that. It was about Hezekiah, right? And something that stuck out that went along with this was Hezekiah was told he was going to die. And he prayed, and he repented, and when he talked with God, he didn't die, right? That's exactly what this verse is. Because thankfully, in the middle of verse, we have a really good word, but. Thankfully. Right? So verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just remember, it is a gift. It is not something you work for. Right? Then it wouldn't be a gift. So it's something that God gives us. Now, so if you'll go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to read verse 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, thought Satan open their eyes. But right here it says that he blinded them. Because he did both. Right? And so, now, Jesus Christ has to open our eyes so that we can see through the darkness, right? So he can guide us through our path. And so I wanted to look at that, and it was really interesting when I read Genesis, and I try not to use technology too much when I'm doing like Bible study, right? I like to do the studying. But I did type in a word search, right? Eyes opened. And Genesis came up. That's not a connection that I would have made, right? So if used right, technology is a beautiful thing. So it was just an interesting connection that the eyes being open can lead to darkness. Okay, so interestingly enough, talking to my older brother just about spiritual things, we're driving to pick up pizza of all things, right? Just going to get dinner and bring it over to the parents' house, and we were just chit-chatting, and I mentioned about this verse. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, when we went and visited the caverns, and I mentioned this 5 weeks ago when they turned out all the lights and you couldn't see anything, right? He goes, do you remember what they told us? I was like, I mean, other than what we've just talked about, I don't. And he brought up an interesting fact, and then I ended up looking it up. So, when exposed to complete light depravity, right, you're in complete and utter darkness, which is what we're born into, by the way. After 3 days of being in darkness, you will go blind. So you can actually go blind physically by being in complete darkness. So spiritually, if you're in darkness with no light, you'll go spiritually blind. Now, here's the interesting fact. It's only temporary. The way to cure that blindness after being in complete light depravity is spending just a few hours in the light. So, you may be born in the darkness, but it just takes a small amount of time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you're back, you can see. So, just an interesting connection that you can make there, and I think the Lord knows what He's doing with how many verses have to do with being brought out of the darkness into light. And how much more powerful is God, right? It takes 3 full days to be blind by darkness. It only takes a couple hours to be brought back to the light. So, I'm going to go right into that. We're going to go to Proverbs 3. The good things about the Lord is always better than the bad, right? It's always good to hear about the good. So, Proverbs 3. We're going to read verse 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So that goes right along with what we've been saying, right? You have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He'll direct your path. So, unfortunately, we still live in this world which is controlled completely by darkness, right? People love darkness. I don't know why, but they do, right? Unless I'm sleeping, I don't like darkness. So, but the Lord says He'll direct their path, right? And then trust in the Lord, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, we like to pretend we're wise, right? Oh, look what I can do. Look what I know. All this stuff. Without the Lord, you don't know anything. None of us do. Right? And you can pretend for only so long. But I like how it ends. Is fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, I'm going to go right into Ezekiel 26. I like to use Bible so y'all know I'm not just making stuff up. You can see it in the Word of God. Plus, if you had to hear somebody talk, I'd rather it be hearing the Lord rather than me, right? Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And if you were here when I did the message on the heart, it was all about the hard heart and the stony heart of Pharaoh, right? This verse talks about how God, and it's only through God and His Word, that He'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. So many times as Christian people, and even if you're not saved, things happen in your life and they harden your heart, right? Oh, I don't want to do this because last time I did it, this happened. Or this person did this thing and it upset me. And it hardens your heart, right? How many times have you done something for someone else and then something happens that turns out bad for you, right? And you're like, man, why did I even help this person, right? And then what gets thrown out a lot that I hear from people around me is no good deed goes unpunished. You guys ever heard that saying? Right? That's a saying from Satan, as far as I'm concerned, right? Maybe physically, maybe in this world, there could be some truth to that. You do a good deed, Satan wants to ruin your testimony, right? But you're not doing it so that you get something out of it. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. So that's just something that's thrown around a lot, kind of a pet peeve of mine. I try not to let it get to me, but that saying does aggravate me. And I think some people in my family know it, so now they just do it just to aggravate me. You know, it's what families are for. But we do things because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We do the right thing. And Satan will try to ruin your testimony. He will. The thing is, your life doesn't necessarily get easier when you get saved. You just have a clear path. And that's what trips people up, because they think, oh man, it was hard before, and now it's still hard, so what's the difference? The difference is, when you have these hard times, you have someone to walk you through it. You have an answer to the problem. Right? Before, you didn't. It was the blind leading the blind. So, put your trust in God. Don't be blind spiritually, and see what He has to offer if you're not saved and you're listening or you're here. What do you really have to lose? Because you're walking in darkness as it is. So, you know, give God a shot, if you will. But I want to go to a salvation verse that everyone should know. Hopefully everyone does. But John 3:16. Very simple verse. But there is a reason why I'm going to this one in particular. So, real quick, I'm kind of reminded of this. I'm sure a lot of you know this. I'm not a follower of football. I'm not. I used to be a sports person in the terms of soccer. But football was never my thing. But I used to watch it on occasion with my dad and so on. And everybody probably remembers Tim Tebow, right? And he always had verses written in his little face paint right here, right? And so sports people are the most superstitious people you will ever meet, okay? Where if you're on a winning streak, you can't change anything. You have to do everything exactly the same as you were doing on that winning streak. Otherwise, you're going to lose, right? It could be something as simple as changing your socks. As crazy as that sounds, right? And when I played soccer, I mean, I was guilty of it, right? Oh, man, we're winning. I got to eat the same thing for breakfast every day. You know, just goofy stuff. And so Tim Tebow broke that rule. He changed the verse that he had had written on his face paint, and he changed it to John 3:16. But everybody knew that the verse had changed, and the announcers mentioned it, and it's on secular TV, right? Oh, what is this verse? And then if you look at the stats, as soon as they saw Tim Tebow, Google searches went through the roof on what that verse was, right? So say what you want about Tim Tebow. I'm not here to debate his spirituality, right? But I will tell you he reached a lot of people by using the Word of God. So if you take the opportunities, and so we're here in John 3:16, and we're going to go ahead and read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a very simple verse, but it's packed, right? And that gives you what you need for salvation. But I do want to keep reading. So verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, you have a very clear cut. The way to heaven is belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. The way not to heaven is not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that simple. Okay. But why I chose this is because it's actually verse 19, 20, and 21, which I feel like get left out a little bit, right? Because everybody stops right there. So, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they may be wrought in God. So, right here, men love darkness rather than light. You have to be able to realize you're in darkness. And what's interesting, it says that right here in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. They don't want to know they're doing wrong, right? We all like to think we're doing good and how great we are and we're the best, right? But if you have to stop and admit to the Lord Jesus Christ that you can't save yourself, you have to say, I can't do something. And I'm going to tell you right now, I do not like saying I can't do something. It is just in me, and I'm almost positive it's in every one of us, right? At work, I go to lift a heavy package. It says team lift. Oh, no, I'm good. I got this. Why? Right? I don't want to admit I can't lift this. And so I've gotten better, right? A little bit. And it took something dumb for me to get better. Box said machine lift, right? But I was like, oh, they're exaggerating. They always exaggerate on the packages. I hurt my back, right? Because I didn't want to admit I couldn't do something. So now, especially if I see that machine lift, I'm like, hey, I'm going to need some help with this, right? We get these dumbbells that are shipped, just these free weights, and 45 pounds, 50 pounds. Well, here's the thing, I can lift 50 pounds, right? But I can get my whole body behind it. I'm not that big of a guy. So if I get my whole body behind it, I'm fine. But you're talking just a little weight like that? I'm over here carrying it both hands. No, I'm good. I got this, right? Another guy, he's like 6'4", 6'5". He's got one in each hand. Oh, John, I got you. I'm going to help you out. Just making me look real bad, right? Should have just asked him for help in the beginning. So that's what we do. We don't like to admit when we're wrong or we do something wrong. So that last verse, verse 21, it says that you have to come before the Lord and you want what you've done wrong made known so that you can fix it. You can't fix it unless you admit that you were wrong. And that's where I feel like a lot of people leave out it. Yes, salvation solely is on the belief in Jesus Christ. But you have to get to that point, right? You have to realize that you're blind walking in the darkness. So I do want to go over a few more verses with everybody, if you will. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. We're going to look here in verse 12 through 14. So it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I'm going to tell you guys right now, that's a hard verse for a lot of Christians. It gives you a lot of stuff you shouldn't do. And right here in verse 14, the very end, "make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Don't even entertain the idea. If you know you shouldn't do something, you know you shouldn't go somewhere, don't do it. Don't even be around it. You know, you have people who are alcoholics that have recovered, and they go 15 years without taking a drink. They go with their friends to a bar, right? "Oh, I'm just going to get a soda. But I'm going because it's a work event," or whatever it may be. Next thing you know, they're an alcoholic again, right? Don't give provision to the flesh. And right there, it gives you a lot of stuff you shouldn't do, right? Let us walk honestly. How many people tell lies continually? On purpose, too. Like, don't get me wrong, we all somehow mess up, but they continually lie. Sometimes you'll find the people that will lie just to do it. Just to do it, right? Rioting and drunkenness. See a lot of drunkenness from Christians nowadays, unfortunately. So, I know that would get me thrown out of probably a lot of churches, but it's the truth. That's what your Bible says. But I want to look as well in 1 Peter 2. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against the soul." I'm going to read verse 12 as well. "Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that wherein as they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." You're going to have people that speak out against you just because you're saved. But when push comes to shove, those same people are going to come to you when they have issues. They're going to need prayer. And they're going to see a difference. Right? But if you're all these other things that the Bible warns you against and you're a Christian, they're going to see no difference between you and all the other friends that they have. Right? So why are they going to come to you for help? And if they don't come to you for help in that moment when they're admitting something is wrong, that's an opportunity that you have that you could lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a missed opportunity because you're living in the flesh. But I really do like the end of verse 9 where it says, "Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So, I also want to go to 1 John 1. 1 John. Verse 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and this in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from sin." There you go. Walk with Jesus in the light. And it's very clear right there. It's His blood that cleanses us from sin. And don't leave the blood out. That's what paid for your sin. So I do want to look at a couple instances here of physical blindness in your Bible. So Acts 9. And I'm going to try to get through this one. It's a little bit more lengthy. Acts 9, we're going to read about Saul. And hopefully you guys all know Saul becomes Paul. But I'm wanting to focus on this section right here. So I'm just going to read through it. I'll try not to make too much commentary so we can get through it. And I'll kind of come back. So verse 9, we're going to read all the way through 22. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he prayeth. And he said, Seeing in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the servants at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all of them, all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer to do for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them, which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So it was a bit of a lengthy bit going on there, but I wanted to go through that to understand. In the beginning, it says that Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. This is a bad guy. And God comes down and speaks to him, right? And Saul humbles himself. But keep in mind, he was blinded by God's light, right? So I gave you the fact of being in darkness for 3 days will blind you. Looking at the sun for more than 2 minutes will also blind you. Okay? But Saul was a very proud man. He held a position in the church. He felt he was justified, right? He knows what to do, and he wasn't going to listen about this Jesus guy, right? So he had to be humbled. God humbled him by blindness, so that he couldn't do it for himself. He had to rely on the people with him to literally take him by the hand and guide him to the city. Right? Now you have this very proud man having to rely on everyone else. And it says he received sight and arose and was baptized. Saul saw some stuff when he talked to Jesus, right? He went, mind you, 3 days without eating or drinking, and he was blind. So Saul was 3 days in darkness as well. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus right there, and how he arose to defeat sin, right? Saul arises after those 3 days, and he doesn't eat. He is baptized. It's the first thing he does. Changed man. Then he eats. Right? In verse 19 it says he receives meat and was strengthened. As soon as he's strengthened, he starts preaching. Right? It's an amazing story. You have this guy that literally 19 verses ago was threatened to kill anyone who proclaimed Jesus. And I mention this because how many times, I know it's happened to me, you talk to someone and you're telling about the gospel and they say, well, I could never step foot in church. The walls would fall down. Oh yeah, God wouldn't save a sinner like me. If God saved Paul, we're all have a shot. No, he'll save anyone, right? And that's the point here. God took Saul, a wicked man, and made him probably your most prominent figure in preaching the gospel in your Bible. So you may have a wicked person in your life, and you're like, oh, well, preaching to them won't do any good, or talking about church or giving them the gospel won't do any good. They won't listen. They might. Paul did. So, and then look what God did. He did great things with that individual. Because I guarantee you, Paul was able to reach people that the other disciples could not because of the sin that he had been through. Right? Because of the experiences that we all go through, we can reach different people. And then lastly, I want to look at Luke 18. Luke 18, and we're going to read here in verse 35. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And he asked, right? So Jesus, this is, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You have a really good picture of salvation right here. You have someone that's begging, they're in the world, right? They're blind, and they're just going through life, and they hear Jesus has come. And they shout out excitedly, right? They want to talk to Jesus. And unfortunately, you have other people that know Jesus trying to put a stop to it. Hey, be quiet, right? I know that's happened to me, where you have something exciting to say about the Bible, or you've read something and you want to talk to somebody, and you have other saved individuals that are just kind of just going through life. They're not excited to talk about the Lord, and they're just kind of, yeah, all right. That's not how it should be. So, I mean, we should be rejoicing. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore, right? That's one of the verses that we go over. And he was excited to see Jesus. And interestingly enough, even though Jesus hadn't died yet, it said, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Not your faith has given you sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Because this Bible, even though it was written then, it's written to us now. right? So that we can point to these verses, and if someone's doubting their salvation and they've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you can point to these verses and tell them, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thy faith has saved thee, right? And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened. And unfortunately, because of that, we're all born blind. So I guess my question this morning is, have you received sight from the Lord Jesus Christ? And if not, would you be willing to let someone show you how you can receive sight from the Lord Jesus Christ? So, before I give this over to Pastor, I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, Heavenly Father, just ask that the people here who are saved, that we just take this message, take the opportunities to preach and to teach your word. Just ask that we not fall into spiritual blindness and darkness. Just ask that we see that you guide our paths and that we communicate with you through prayer, through your word, and that we have that clear path. We know where to walk, and that we take the opportunities that you give us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.